even coronavirus can't keep us apart. Because we love you so much. From all of us at Bashani Radio app, stay safe.
Stay safe.
Stay home.
Stay home.
And keep us blasting on your phones. Bashani Radio app, always talking about everything. Download us free in the App Store. Kaboom! You heard?
Hello and welcome to the Secret Vibe Show. You're listening to your host, Valerie A. Campbell. Without further ado, let's begin. You know, I remember when I was going to ICAN Church, ICC, at Monya Road in East London. And as I crossed the threshold, God said, "You were a seeker, now you're a teacher." Up until that point, I'd sought God for so long, jumping from church to church to church to church to church. And as I crossed the threshold of that church, I heard his spirit say that to me, "You were a seeker, now you're a teacher." And you know what my response was to God? Me thinking that I know everything. I said to God, "Oh no, God, there's so much depths to you. I will never stop seeking you." I'll never stop seeking you. But what I didn't realize at the time, that was actually an act or a declaration of procrastination. That's what it was. It was a declaration of procrastination. Do you know why? Because it caused me to focus on the first part of what God said. "You were a seeker." And I essentially said, "No, I'm not." And so I continued seeking. And so even though people would say to me, "Valerie, you've got a really great way of breaking things down. You know, you're a really good teacher." You know, people would say that to me in the sauna, while I'm at the gym, you know, while I'm relaxing. I would say, "You have this ability of breaking things down in a way that we actually get it. We'll listen to you." Sometimes they call me professor. But what did Valerie do? She procrastinated. Because why? Because I'm hard ears. How many of us are hard ears? God is speaking to us. He is never going to compete with the worldly voices. God is who he is. His integrity. And you need to slow down and open your ear to hear his voice. Because he's speaking to you all the time. About a month ago, God said to me, he said, "Why are you seeking what you've already found? You are a teacher." And I heard it that time. I heard it. I received it in my spirit. I really received it. Because it made so much sense to me. Why am I seeking what I have already found? And as I learn, I express. As I learn, I teach. And when I teach, it causes me to learn. See, when you teach, it orders your thoughts and it makes you very welcoming of the questions that will be asked of you. Why? Because in you is this ability to want to know. You want to learn. And that is one of the good signs of a teacher. So if you have this yearning to learn and learn and to express it to others, you are a teacher. You've answered the call of God. You have answered the call of God. And God has many teachers. He has many teachers because he needs many voices. He needs many voices. Well, our voices are the expressions of God. You know, the way I communicate, there's a time where I would have said to God, God, I'm not enough. You know, I can't speak as eloquently as, but hold on a minute. The Bible tells us that we shouldn't compare ourselves to each other. We've got our own race to run. What does that actually mean? It means that collaboratively, we all have our role to play. Think of a jigsaw puzzle. Each piece in that puzzle has its own function, or the way that it is formed. But think about it. Each piece is a solution to another piece's problem. It's a fit, isn't it? And it was designed that particular way to fit with another jigsaw piece. So the creator of that puzzle knew exactly what he was doing when he created that puzzle. He knew exactly what he was doing. He made that puzzle piece to have its little quirks, its little corners, its little round bits to fit perfectly in this part of the entire picture. That's why you can't compare yourself with another puzzle piece. Because each piece has its function, but collaboratively together, it forms the picture. It forms the intention of God. It forms the plan of God. So the first thing that you need to do is you need to accept yourself. You need to accept who you are. Kinks, quirks. If you're dark skinned, if you're light skinned, if your hair's short, if it's long, if your toenails are long, oh, forget that one. Yeah. But no, but even including that one. Yeah. You are perfect the way that you are. You are perfect the way you are in this particular time. You're here in this particular time, this part of, let me say history, because the moment I say history, that moment has gone for a reason. Because you fit as a part of the puzzle, as a jigsaw piece, the entire picture of God's plan. So never say to yourself that you're not perfect. There's nothing wrong with you. So the first thing that you need to do is accept yourself. Please do not compare yourself to other people. You're not supposed to. You were never designed to compare yourself with others. And that's what it means to run your own race. It means to own who you are, own your strengths. Own what you perceive as weaknesses, because they're not weaknesses, they're strengths. Focus on your strengths, what you perceive as your strengths, and even your weaknesses you will be grateful for. So think about a jigsaw piece. Some of it has indentations in it, yes? Yeah? Some has little projections on it. And when we look at human beings, sometimes we can see our indentations as a weakness. But that same weakness, that vulnerability that we have, is a solution to someone's problem. When you make it visible, it is a fit to someone's problem. Can you see how beautiful you are? That's why I do not buy into this teaching, which is prevalent, which I grew up with, that you are not perfect. You are a child of the Most High. As we say in London, you're a chip of the old block, which means that you possess the same qualities as God. When God describes himself, when God is described in the Bible, he's telling you who you are. The Bible tells us that we were made in his image. So who are you? You have to start to recognize yourself. In the Bible, it talks about, I am that I am. When Moses went to get the Ten Commandments, and the people so fickle, you know, he'd taken them out of Egypt, and their minds were so fickle, they still believed in, you know, false gods, or were easily influenced. And when Moses came down with the Ten Commandments and saw what the people were doing, building calves, golden calves, and you know, he was so disappointed, to use a very mild word. But at that time he had said to God, who shall I say gave me these Ten Commandments? And God said to him, tell him, I am that I am. What does that mean? That means that God is an all-inclusive God. He is everything. God doesn't have an opposite. For there he is also. He's everywhere at the same time, everywhere, past, present, and future. And so we are expressions of the infinite. The God is the great I am. So when you say an I am, you are actually recognizing that part of yourself to come forth. It's not an affirmation. It's not an affirmation. I don't know why my spirit is telling me to teach you this morning about I am. This is about you getting to know who you are. This is about the undoing. This is about renewing your minds. It's about undoing your mind from the lies that the world will tell you who you are. You're not your programming. You're not what your teachers told you. You're not the culture that you were born in. You're not any of those things. You're not what the TV says you are. You are a child of God. You are an expression of the great I am. And to be an expression of the great I am means that you are a spiritual being having a human experience, a physical experience. So as an infinite being, that means that you can tap into that infiniteness. It means that you are so abundant. But if you do not know who you are, how are you going to tap into that? So my spirit is telling me this morning, because it's morning here in London, that I should tell you that you need to recognize who you are. You are a powerful being beyond your imagination right now. You know, when I was younger, I watched a movie called The Matrix. If I could see you right now, I would say, raise your hands who has seen that movie, The Matrix. And when I watched The Matrix, there's a scene in the movie where Neo, who is the main character, who in fact represents Jesus Christ. I didn't know that because a few months ago, I interviewed Sophia Stewart, the franchiser of The Matrix. She created The Matrix. She wrote The Matrix. So she explained to me that Neo actually represented Jesus Christ. And in the movie, there's a scene where he's looking at this little boy who's sat on a rug. He's sitting on a rug. And he's just there holding spoons and bending them. The spoon would just bend. And next to him was a tray of bent spoons. And Neo is looking at this little boy and he's thinking, you can hear his thoughts. He's looking at the boy and he's thinking, how does he do that? And as the spoon bends, he kind of tilts his head to one side. And the little boy, reading his thoughts, says words to the effect of, and in a very wise tone, you see, if you look closely, you will see that it is not the spoon that bends, but it is you that bends. And Neo looks at the boy quizzically, like to say, what? And I hear the words repeat in my mind, it is not the spoon that bends, it is you that bends. And I, those words have always stuck with me over the years, because again, it's something that, have you ever heard something and you know it's the truth? You can't really explain it, but you know it's the truth. And in this scene, Neo looks at the spoon and he internalizes what the boy has said. And then the spoon bends and then he kind of snaps out of it. Just for that moment, Neo was able to look beyond his perspective of his five senses. He was able to look beyond his perspective of his five senses. And just in that moment, he was able to realize that he is a limitless being. Not finite, as his five senses would have him perceive himself, but infinite. And that he was actually one with the spoon on an energetic level, because everything is made of energy. And what you look at changes. If you change the way you look at something, what you look at changes. Those are the words of the very wise Wayne Dyer. May he rest in peace. And in the movie, it then shows how in Neo recognizing who he is, that he is not the programming. He's not who he thinks he is, but he is a child of the Most High. But in the movie, it's not depicted as God, higher being, probably referred to as, there is another world. There are two worlds that we live in. There's a scene where Neo is offered by Morpheus two pills. If you take this pill, you will be forever tied in this world. You'll just see things as they are now, which is what we have, sight. We see the world as we see it is, as it is now, with sight. But if you take the other pill, essentially what he was telling Neo is that if you take the other pill, you will have vision. You will see the real world. And once you take that pill, you will never be able to go back to undoing what you have now seen as the real world. Because once you've seen something that's real, you can't forget. What is real is changeless. See, we're living in a world of illusion right now. We're living in a world of illusions. We have imaginations that are not true. And these imaginations need to be cast down. The thing is, if you believe a thing to be true, that thing will have a hold on you. That's one of the things, one of the words the Holy Spirit gave me one morning when I woke up. If you believe a thing to be true, that thing will have a hold on you. And that thing that you believe is not necessarily true. Imagine if you believe something about somebody. Maybe someone's told you something about a person and you believe it and yet it's not true. And then you walk in the energy of that, walk in your understanding of that, and it's a lie, and you start to treat that person from the perspective of that lie. and you cause conflict and you cause pain. And isn't it often the case that sometimes you then find out, often the time, that what you thought was true about that person was not true? Not true. And then you feel so guilty, you feel so bad. See, that's what I mean by there are many illusions that we are walking in right now that is not the truth. So as I sit here and I look about and I look around, look at everything that's going on in the world right now, and I look at it with sight, in other words, with my perception, my understanding of things, which I know is limited, and I look at COVID-19 and I question things and I think, is it really so? Is it really as they have depicted it to us? Do I need to really believe in the narrative that is being spun to me on TV? Is it really so? Question everything. The situation with the George Floyd. Is it really so? Because I know that I only have a limited perspective. And because I know that I have only a limited perspective, I can't judge anything. How can I? And so I have to lean on God. I have to lean on God for his understanding of the situation. Because I don't know. I don't know anything. But I do believe in God's words and I do believe in the creator of the puzzle. I do believe that I was created. Just like someone created a car. The person who created the car has the authority. So why would I want to live independent of that knowledge and that vision? So let's talk more about perspective. I have a new book, by the way, coming out by the end of this month called Perspective. And again, that was written through me under the direction of the Spirit. The Spirit I commune with, I have talks with, conversations with every morning. I always designate that first hour, although it spills over much more than that, every morning. Why? Because I want to know who God is. I don't want to do anything independent of him. I am a child of the Most High. So let me tell you a story. One day I was sat in my sitting room, my living room, watching the TV. And it was not too long after I'd received a revelation, which I detail in the book, Perspective. And whilst I was sat in the living room watching the TV, I saw this woman walking along. And as she walked along, all of a sudden, this guy, out of nowhere it seemed, just rushed at her and pushed her hard to the ground. The content of her bag scattered everywhere. And I rose up indignant out of my chair thinking, this is the problem with the world. You know, a woman can't walk the road in peace. That was my internal rhetoric. My state changed. My energy changed. I was irate. Based on what I saw. But then what happened is the camera zoomed out. And as the camera zoomed out, it revealed that this woman was walking along a building that was in construction, that had scaffolding, and way up above, bricks precariously positioned were about to fall. It was the guy's intention to save her life. And with shame, I sank back into my seat, and Spirit said to me, you were never designed to see the whole picture. Whereas you have perspective, I have vision. God sees everything because he's everywhere at the same time, past, present and future. What is my perspective? But a small finite slice of the pie, because I'm looking at things with through the limitation of my five senses. And that day, that was a really strong lesson to me. You do not lean on your own understanding. I lean on the understanding of God. And that's a lesson for you too, to get up every morning and ask God. You want to call God higher being, infinite, higher intelligence, whatever word you want to ascribe to that power which is higher than yours, then do it. Make it a routine to inquire every morning, and you'll see how your life flows much more effortlessly. You will never lack. When you think about the trees, when you think about the birds and the sky, and they're clothed with things, do you think that they think, I haven't got enough here? Somehow they manage, right? From I have started living this kind of life, I've always received what I need. I've always received what I need. Because I recognize that God provides everything that I need, that I cannot live independent of Him. I recognize, not affirm, because, you know, there's a lot of personal development seminars with these newfangled words that will say, yes, you must say these affirmations. I am abundant. But it's not an affirmation, it's a recognition of the fact that you are the image of the great I am, which means that you have the same qualities. You are a crumb of the biscuit. If you have a biscuit, a cookie, and some of it breaks away, the crumbs, are the crumbs, do they not still contain the same ingredients as the entire biscuit? Is that not the case? Listen, people, we need to wake up. We need to wake up. And I'm understanding that God wants me to, my function is to wake up people. People are sleeping. You need to wake up. The world needs to wake up. And it is your responsibility to wake up. I can help you to wake up. I can guide you to wake up. But unless you want to wake up, unless you want to take that pill that's going to give you the abundant life and make you look at things differently, I can't help you. Because you've got to want to. That's what it means to respond to the call. In the Bible, it says, many are called and few are chosen. The laborers are few. Because some people don't want to take that pill. Wake up and start to smell the roses as they really are. So when you start to do that and you start to recognize who you are, recognize who you are in Christ. And I say Christ because He ransomed His life for us, the greatest teacher that ever lived. Then it's a start. It's a beginning. And so that's why I was assigned to write the book Perspective. Perspective is due out at the end of this month. And so if you want to order your copy, in fact, you must order your copy.
Lashani Radio App. Lashani Radio App. The house guest that just won't leave. Download it free. Free. In the App Store. Or listen online at BashaniRadio.com.